The following is an episode of Father Daniel Mahon's series, A Tour of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
The Catechism speaks of the necessity of baptism. Jesus himself said that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. And our Lord commands his disciples to go forth and to baptize. Baptism is necessary for salvation. He also commands his disciples to proclaim the gospel to all nations and to baptize them. Baptism is necessary for salvation for those to whom the gospel has been proclaimed and who have had the possibility of asking for this sacrament. The Church does not know of any means other than baptism that assures entry into eternal beatitude. This is very, very important to remember, that while we know of no other means by which a person can be saved, we also know and teach that God does not bind himself to the sacrament of baptism for the purpose of excluding anyone from the joys of heaven. He is not bound by the sacraments. There are some notable exceptions to the idea and the teaching that without baptism one cannot be saved. What are the exceptions? First of all, baptism of blood. Those who are desiring of the sacrament, but who lose their life in defending the faith prior to sacramental baptism, are considered baptized in blood. Baptism of desire. Those catechumens who die before baptism of natural causes or other causes other than martyrdom are considered to have received the baptism of desire. Those ignorant of the gospel, what about those who are living a moral life but who do not know the gospel? Every man who is ignorant of the gospel of Christ and of his church, but seeks the truth and does the will of God in accordance with his understanding of it, can be saved. It may be supposed that such persons would have desired baptism explicitly if they had known its necessity. In other words, if they had known about baptism, these people certainly would have asked for it and would have tried to receive it. Children who die before baptism present a difficult situation, and yet one that is not without hope. The Church entrust them to God's mercy. Jesus' tenderness toward children, Jesus saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them," allows us to hope that there is a way of salvation for children who have died without baptism. We entrust them to God's mercy. The Catechism speaks of the grace of baptism. Every sacrament confers the grace that is appropriate to it. What is the grace of baptism? The two principal effects of baptism are purification from sins and new birth in the Holy Spirit. And this is symbolized by the purifying effect of water and the regenerative effect of water used in the sacrament. The forgiveness of sins, the first effect of baptism. All sins are forgiven in baptism. Original sin and personal sin in the case of one who comes to the sacrament after the age of reason. However, though sin is remitted, the consequences of sin remain. Suffering, illness, death, and such frailties inherent in life as weaknesses of character and so on, as well as an inclination to sin that tradition calls concupiscence, or metaphorically, the tinder for sin, that which would cause the fires of sin to rage. One receives forgiveness of sin, and one becomes a new creature in baptism. Baptism makes us a new creature, an adopted son or daughter of God, who has become a partaker of the divine nature, a member of Christ and co-heir with him, and a temple of the Holy Spirit. We say that justification, or the sanctifying grace, is given in baptism. The grace to believe in God, faith, to hope in him, and to love him. The power to live and act under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the ability to grow in goodness through the moral virtues. The whole of the Christian life is rooted in baptism. One is incorporated into the body of Christ in baptism. Through baptism, we are members of one another. We become connected with our brothers and sisters in the faith through baptism. From the font, we are born into the church, and the baptized are the living stones to be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. This passage from the first letter of St. Peter is itself part of his post-baptismal catechesis. We believe that that epistle is one that was meant especially for the newly baptized. Baptism gives a share in the common priesthood of all believers, and baptism is the source of all responsibilities and duties in the church. The baptized person is called to be subject to others, to serve them in the communion of the church, and to obey and submit to the church's leaders, holding them in respect and affection. Baptism is also the source of rights and responsibilities in the church. To receive the sacraments, to be nourished with the Word of God, and to be sustained by the other spiritual helps of the church. We receive these rights through our baptism. So too do we receive responsibilities, especially the missionary imperative, the imperative to evangelize, to bring the good news of the gospel to all that we meet. There is a sacramental bond through baptism that points to the unity of Christians. Baptism is the foundation of communion with all Christians, including those who are not yet in full communion with the Catholic Church. We share in one baptism, for the Scriptures say there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Because we are all baptized, I speak of baptized Christians, though we may be divided along denominational lines, the responsibility that we have as baptized Catholics is to work always for the unity that our Lord desires. He prays that they may be one, that we may be one. The Catechism also speaks of the indelible spiritual mark that we receive in the sacrament of baptism. Baptism confers character, the character of belonging to Christ, an indelible spiritual mark that cannot be erased. However, sin can prevent baptism from bearing the fruits of salvation. This sacramental character configures the Christian for worship, and it configures him to serve God. By a vital participation in the Holy Liturgy, and by the witness of holy lives and practical charity. Baptism is the gateway to the sacramental life of the church, the basis for our Christian living, that which has us begin the journey, a journey that we pray leads to everlasting life with all of the saints in heaven. As we study the sacraments of the Church, we focus on the sacraments of initiation, and in this lesson, we focus on the sacrament of confirmation. The reception of the sacrament of confirmation is necessary for the completion of baptismal grace, for by the sacrament of confirmation, the baptized are more perfectly bound to the Church and are enriched with a special strength of the Holy Spirit. Hence, they are, as true witnesses of Christ, more strictly obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. This sacrament, this important sacrament, this sacrament instituted by Christ, has its roots in the Old Testament and is very much part of the economy of salvation. The Old Testament prophets announced that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the hoped-for Messiah for his saving mission. And this anointing that rests upon the Messiah is fulfilled in the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit descended upon him at his baptism. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. His whole life and mission are carried out in total communion with the Holy Spirit, whom the Father gives him without measure. The fullness of the Spirit rests not only on the Messiah, but upon his followers, the whole messianic people, the apostles filled with the Holy Spirit, preach boldly and proclaim God's mighty deeds. Those whom they baptize receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. The imposition of hands is an apostolic gesture. We know that St. Paul conferred the Holy Spirit through the imposition of hands. It's a sign of the imposition of the Holy Spirit, and the conferral of the Holy Spirit completes the grace of baptism. The imposition of hands is rightly recognized by the Catholic tradition as the origin of the sacrament of confirmation, which in a certain way perpetuates the grace of Pentecost in the Church. And so the Catechism answers that question, when is the sacrament of confirmation instituted and how is it instituted? It's instituted in the earliest days of the Church by the imposition of hands. Early on, though, the anointing with oil, especially perfumed oil or chrism, accompanied the laying on of hands. And the anointing in confirmation evokes the name Messiah, or Christ, which means, of course, the Anointed One. There are important nuances with the sacrament of confirmation as it is celebrated in the Eastern Rite churches on one hand and in the Roman tradition on the other. In the Eastern churches, this sacrament is called chrismation, and in the Latin tradition, it is called the sacrament of confirmation, which is a ratification of baptism and a strengthening of baptismal grace. In the Eastern churches, baptism and confirmation make up a dual sacrament conferred at one ceremony in one rite by the priest, though the priest uses the holy oil that is blessed by the bishop. In the Latin Church, the two sacraments are separated, and the infants are anointed with holy oil, but confirmation is conferred later. The ordinary minister would be the bishop of the Church. And in the Eastern tradition, the sacrament emphasizes the unity of the sacraments of Christian initiation. All three are received in the same rite. In the Latin tradition, the celebration of confirmation emphasizes the role of the bishop, that the newly baptized would wait for the bishop to make his rounds and confer the sacrament at that time. There are various signs in the rite of confirmation that are important. The anointing as a spiritual seal, a sealing in of the grace of baptism. In the Old Testament and in the ancient world, anointing is a sign of abundance. It's a sign of joy. It cleanses. It was part of the bathing rituals at the time. It limbers. Olive oil was used especially by athletes to get them loosened up for competition. Oil is a sign of healing. And olive oil and other oils were used by physicians to bring about healing, especially in wounds. And oil makes radiant with beauty, health, and strength. This is the sign of oil that comes to us from the ancient church. In the sacramental life, these meanings are preserved because the oil of catechumens cleanses and strengthens. The oil of the sick heals and comforts. And the post-baptismal anointings, whether they are the sacrament of confirmation in the Eastern Church or the anointing with chrism that takes place immediately after baptism in the Latin rite, is a sign of consecration. By confirmation, Christians, that is, those who are anointed, share more completely in the mission of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit with which He is filled, so that their lives may give off the aroma of Christ. One who is confirmed with chrism, that perfumed oil, gives off that aroma. That's something that's sensible to people around the newly confirmed. Very, very important as we think of the newly confirmed as one who will be evangelizing, spreading the good news. The confirmand receives the mark or seal of the Holy Spirit. The term seal evokes from the ancient world the soldiers marked with their leader's seal, the slave marked with their master's seal, and the sealing of a document, making it authentic. That seal, that impression that is given to the soldier, the slave, or the document. Christians are marked with the seal of the sacrament of confirmation, just as Christ was marked by the Father's seal. For on the Son of Man, the Father has set His seal. The seal of the Holy Spirit marks our total belonging to Christ, our enrollment in His service forever, as well as the promise of divine protection in the great eschatological trial. The celebration of the sacrament of confirmation is addressed in the Catechism. The consecration of the chrism is done by the bishop during the chrism mass, a mass that takes place annually during Holy Week. It is associated also in the celebration of confirmation. We have the renewal of baptismal promises, showing the connection between confirmation and baptism. The extending of hands by the bishop or the consecrating minister, symbolic of the sharing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the bishop prays, the spirit of right judgment and courage, the spirit of knowledge and reverence. Fill them with the spirit of wonder and awe in your presence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. The sacrament of confirmation contains an essential rite, that which is necessary every time it is administered. In the Latin rite, the anointing with chrism on the forehead accompanied by the laying on of the hand. And the formula is, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the Eastern Rite churches, the essential rite is just a little bit different. The anointing with oil on the forehead, eyes, nose, ears, lips, breast, back, hands, and feet, with the formula, the seal of the gift that is the Holy Spirit. And the rite also includes the sign of peace, which is a demonstration of the peace and the communion between the bishop and the newly confirmed. There are effects of the sacrament of confirmation, important effects. The full outpouring of the Holy Spirit as once granted to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The effect of the sacrament of confirmation is an increase and deepening of baptismal grace. The sacrament roots us more deeply in the divine filiation, which makes us cry out, Abba, Father. It unites us more firmly to Christ. It increases the gifts of the Holy Spirit within us. It renders our bond with the church more perfect. It gives us a special strength of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith by word and action as true witnesses of Christ, to confess the name of Christ boldly and never be ashamed of the cross. It is an indelible mark that is imprinted upon the soul. Sacramental character is conferred in confirmation. This character perfects the common priesthood of the faithful received in baptism. The Catechism asks the question, who may receive the sacrament of confirmation? Every baptized person not yet confirmed can and should receive the sacrament of confirmation. For without confirmation and Eucharist, baptism is certainly valid and efficacious, but Christian initiation remains incomplete. Now, in the Latin Church, the Age of Reason is the reference point for the age of the person to be confirmed, whereas in the Eastern Church, as we know, confirmation is conferred at the time of baptism, even with infants. And yet the Episcopal Conference may decide a different age for the sacrament of confirmation in the Latin Church. And yet this important sacrament is not to be denied to those who have need of it. In danger of death, children should be confirmed even if younger than the age of discretion. The sacrament of Christian maturity, is this what we call the sacrament? Well, in a certain way, yes, and yet in a certain way, no. Confirmation is sometimes called the sacrament of Christian maturity, but we must not confuse adult faith with the adult age of natural growth. Many children are beyond their years in matters of faith, and many children in history have even shed their blood for the faith. And so we must not confuse spiritual maturity with chronological maturity, as it were. Preparation for confirmation for one who receives it after attaining the age of reason aims for a more intimate union with Christ, more familiarity with the Holy Spirit, so as to be more capable of assuming the apostolic responsibilities of Christian life, and a greater sense of belonging to the church, both the universal church and the parish. The one who receives the sacrament must be in the state of grace and should prepare for the sacrament by prayer and by the reception of the sacrament of penance. We should note that the word used in the catechism here is should. That a person who is going to be confirmed should be in the state of grace, though the reception of the sacrament of confirmation, while not in the state of grace, does not invalidate the sacrament. The sponsor is chosen, and the sponsor emphasizes the unity of the two sacraments. And so it's appropriate, though not required, that the sponsor for the sacrament of confirmation also be the sponsor at baptism. Who is the minister of the sacrament of confirmation? The original minister of confirmation is the bishop. In the East, the priest is the one who confirms, and yet he confirms using the oil that has been blessed by the bishop. In the Latin Church, the same is done by the priest who baptizes an adult. The priest who baptizes an adult confirms during that same rite using the sacred chrism, the holy oil, blessed by the bishop. But in the Latin Church, the ordinary minister of confirmation is the bishop, although the bishop can, for sufficient reason, grant priests the faculty for administering the sacrament of confirmation. The fact that the bishop is the ordinary minister of confirmation in the Latin Church demonstrates clearly that its effect is to unite those who receive it more closely to the Church, to her apostolic origins, and to her mission of bearing witness to Christ. Still, in danger of death, any priest should administer confirmation. The Church desires that none of her children, even the youngest, should depart this world without having been perfected by the Holy Spirit with the gift of Christ's fullness. Thus, the sacrament of confirmation is the second sacrament of Christian initiation.
Thank you for listening. This program was produced by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio and Air Maria. To learn more about this program and how you can help us continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.